what comes up today is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5. And he says, purge the evil person from among you. Purge the evil person from among you. So another translation could be, move away from your victimizer. Move away from your abuser. We have ties to people in different ways. You're familiar with soul ties, I'm sure. Soul ties created by sexual contact, eye contact, going to emotionally deep places with other people, perhaps brushing up against somebody and getting a feeling from that. Sometimes some exchange of a spirit or a spirit influence between two people from across a room even. It can be a stranger at a distance that a soul tie can form. So soul ties can be formed by spiritual influence, demonic influence. And that would be from those people seeing each other, accessing each other in public. And so those soul ties can be formed outside of marriage. And then there's soul ties in marriage. So it can be that healthy soul tie that's based in love of the Lord and both having their eyes on God and being obedient to God and walking alongside Christ and what he calls us to do. And then there are soul ties that can be formed through an obedience to the marriage over obedience to Jesus. And this is a big part of what I want to mention today is sensitives can be really swindled. Their lives can be swindled away by being obedient to a marriage that the devil has created. So when we go back to what I was saying about soul ties can be formed through demonic connections, demonic spirits that can connect people through iniquity inherited through their ancestry that they were born into, and then born into a witchcraft family, born into a secret society family, same thing, born into patterns of being open to disobedience, rebelliousness, and that leaves that person susceptible to being fixed up with their spouse from the God of the world. So the God of the world would create that marriage. Now, God is always supreme, and God knows and allows this, and he has power over everything. He is still above all, and so he can use a marriage that Satan has put together, and he can use that marriage to grow each person or one of the people, whoever's willing, towards God, to waking up and becoming righteous and turning to him. So he wants to gather his prodigals, and he will do that in whatever way he can. So he's always looking for a way. So even if a marriage has been set up by the enemy, that marriage can be used to God's glory. If both partners are seeking God, then that marriage can stay together. Let's just give an example of both that are confessing Christians, but one is unrepentant, is not changing as far as their sin. Maybe they're going to church, maybe they're calling themselves Christian, maybe they are saying they're Christian, but actually living an immoral life. So I want to bring up the scripture where Paul is talking about this, how we are supposed to handle someone who calls themselves a brother or a sister in Christ, and they are living an immoral life and they're unrepentant. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 to 13, one version of it, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, to not associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he's guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. So he's saying you shouldn't even sit down and eat with them if they're unrepentant in their sexual immorality, greed, idolatry, reviling, drunkenness, and swindling. He says, purge the evil person from among you. If you've got someone that's self-professing Christian in your life that you may be married to, you want to really look at this scripture and study it, because what happens is with the sensitive person, there's so many people that I see that are affected with the spirit of codependency, and they learn this in childhood, And so they become codependent to this abusive person in their life who is often their spouse or becomes their spouse or is to become their spouse. It's a comfortable thing, and they are taught to be obedient to their abusive parents. Then they become obedient to an abuser as a spouse. And then either the message that can come from the world or from the Christian churches that are not encouraging you to really understand the voice of God and to have the Holy Spirit guiding you through the scriptures and revealing things to you through the scriptures, the Christian who's being abused or victimized or has the narcissist, passive-aggressive spouse, male or female, they are going by one Bible verse, and it's going to be a Bible verse that has to do with marriage, how you can leave a marriage and how you can't, and they're not understanding the heart of God. The sensitive person becomes obedient to one scripture, holding up a scripture verse above, for one, the whole Word of God, and also holding up marriage above Jesus Christ. What God's written for you, laying it down, casting it aside. So it's really casting your pearls before swine. Choosing to cast your pearls away, what God has given you in obedience to the scraps that you're receiving through the marriage that is to an unrepentant victimizer, idolater, whatever it happens to be, swindler, and those drunkard and those types of things, sexual immorality. So if you've got a spouse that's into pornography or seeing prostitutes or bragging about how they look at other women or look at other men, and they're keeping you controlled through the scriptures or keeping you controlled by their knowledge that you will never leave them because you need so badly to be the good Christian. And meanwhile, they're calling themselves a Christian and they're not living as it. So they're being in deceit, which is lying is an abomination to God. One of the list of abominations is this lying tongue. Saying I'm a Christian and not living that way, that's an enormous lie. So you have to look at the whole picture, and I just find it with empaths and sensitives, there's such a codependency, a spirit of codependency or a pattern of codependency that it's something that is so important to look at. It just seems like a deep thread that the enemy uses to steal, kill, and destroy. The empath, the sensitive, is allowing it. When you have codependency, the reason that there's 12-step programs for codependence is because it's just as much an addiction as alcohol, sex addicts, eating disorders, all the things that there are 12-step programs for, and I'm not advocating for these, but I'm just showing that the reason that there are 12-step programs for codependence is because it's that serious, and it's that destructive to the family, it's that destructive to the body, just as alcohol, eating disorders, gambling, sex addiction, it's just as destructive. So it has to be warred against. This is spiritual warfare. You have to war against the spirit of codependency. You have to come against this, and there's no reason and logic in your mind that's ever going to work it out. You cannot reason with a codependent person. You cannot guide them to scripture to point anything out, because they will find a scripture, another scripture that they will idolize and hold up and live by to their death. For one thing, I don't want you to feel alone. The sensitive types that grow up with a narcissist parent or a codependent parent, or the whole dynamic of what personality disorders can look like in a family of parents growing up in that as a sensitive, feeling very tied in or cued into what the parents are projecting, that comes from things generationally also that need to be healed. But when you come from that circumstance, you do become codependent. You're trained to become codependent, and you have spirits enter through the traumas that happen when you're yelled at for certain things. You're made to repeatedly care for the parents. You're made to come in and save and rescue the parents. That's training. That literally trains you into a behavior and a type of thinking, how you value yourself. So when we become Christian, we don't necessarily get trained in the church how to renew our mind in the way that the Bible really tells us to. And we all have to do that. And the renewing of the mind comes with, what is my identity now as a child of God? How do I own that? How do I live that? And you need revelation from the Holy Spirit. So when you're just in your codependency, or if you're in any kind of situation at home that you feel like you can't escape, God always gives us an escape. He always gives us a way out. The scriptures show us that He will give us a way out. If we're not finding a way out, and it's an obedience that we are refusing. Some people that are codependent, they will martyr themselves over and over again. And they'll say, well, I'm working on my codependency, but in this situation, this other person is willing to go to counseling, or they're willing to do this one thing. And that's the trap. They're always the manipulator, the victimizer, the abuser. Even if the person isn't necessarily trying it, they know how to work an empath. They know, okay, I'm just going to throw them a tiny pebble and that'll keep them for 6 months. They'll keep believing that I'm going to actually change. I'll agree to this little thing and they'll think that I'm going to change. And by then I'll be able to have blah, 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 whatever it is that this person that you're bonded to or bound to, whatever it is that they want to do, or they want you to forget about it, or they want to move on to something else. So they know how to throw a pebble. And so you've learned in childhood how to take a pebble and how to carry it a million miles, you know, how to take one little tiny scrap of hope and carry it 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 and believe in it and believe in it and believe in it. But you're believing in the wrong hope. You're believing in the hope of a person changing instead of believing in what God can do in your life. And sometimes He requires you to purge the evil person from among you, as Paul said in the scripture. Purge the evil person, purge the person. So you first want to look at yourself and cast out the spirit and get the Holy Spirit in you, indwelling, so that you can read scriptures with the right revelation. So you can see your spouse with the right revelation, or whoever it is that you're bound to in whatever way. It could be a manager. It could be something contractual. It could be even family. It's obedience to family, parents that are abusive. People that call themselves Christian, you grew up in the church. It's a huge manipulation of your spirituality to use church and obedience to God, this theme of obedience to God, which is really obedience to them. It's seductive and it has to be broken through and you have to fight for it. The reason that you're so entangled in all these things is because of the ancestry you came from and the sin of the choices that you've made, that parents have made. Here comes the spirits that can come in through that trauma and really tie you in even further. And then if there's any witchcraft operating in, who knows, around you that you may not even know of, that you might be, it might be revealed if you have witchcraft type dreams. Praise God, you can pass those, you can get beyond those, and you can have godly dreams. So you want to, if you see those things, you break that. And you are obedient to your life calling, what God's written for you. He didn't write your life in a book and say, yeah, I want her to do this, or I want him to do this. But if they happen to marry someone that's abusive, that's good reason for them to not do it. Can you see how ridiculous that would be for God to really think that you should be obedient to this abusive marriage over what He has called you to do for His glory and His kingdom on earth, this short time that you have on earth, His creation? Satan wants to contract you. He wants to covenant you, and he uses it in every way. Again, God can work through a covenant to heal you and bring you closer to Him, even if it's a covenant made by Satan Lucifer. So He can use it and bring it to the glory of both you and your spouse. He can do that, and you can believe in Him for that. There's a separation, though, that has to happen when that other person is not repentant. It doesn't matter if they call themselves Christian. What matters is, are they repentant? And the Bible here is showing us, and there's so many scriptures that show us, not to sit down and even have a meal with people that call themselves a brother or a sister, and they're sexually immoral, they're greedy, they're an idolater. What's happening in the person that you're bonded to, or the family that you're bonded to? What's making you overlook your destiny to serve God's kingdom? It really begins with coming against the enemy and any spiritual forces working through you, casting that stuff out. And that's why I really am such a strong proponent for Christian deliverance. If you've not even started there, that's the place to start. Because if you're trying to do something of your own will, or even trying to understand the scriptures, but you've got deceitful spirits, you're just going to be playing this game with the enemy, who's always going to be looking at another way to get in. So if you cast that out, you don't have that influence on you. You just have to have the eyes to see, and you can't have the eyes to see without casting the stuff, these influences out. It's just the fact. It's just the fact of sensitives and every other Christian that there's spiritual warfare going on. It will trick us to become obedient to something. And it could be many, many things, but whatever it is that we're told we should be obedient to, the enemy gets to steal what's written for you. He gets to kill you even sometimes. Sometimes somebody will be obedient to the point of suicide. They're suffering so much in an abusive relationship that they feel God will judge them if they get out of, to the point that they will kill themselves. You know, that's tough to talk about, but the fact is that if that's even crossed your mind, you absolutely need urgent, urgent deliverance and all the support that you can get. And that's why, again, codependency is seen as so serious to become a 12th step, because just like addicts and various forms of people that go in to seek help with 12 steps, it can be so self-harming that the person actually ends up dying. And it's the same with codependency. And it's just one of those things that people don't talk about because it's this quiet exit. Often they're alone in their thoughts, and they have this view of God that's been manipulatively pummeled into them from childhood. God forbid they grew up in a church that was a cult that had in satanic involvement or witchcraft involvement. So many churches do. And then so the child gets all these false messages, and they still love God and they love Jesus and they want a true relationship with Jesus, but they have this definition of what they were told God was and how he would punish you if you made certain decisions. And then you go on to just be an adult that has guilt and hasn't cast it out. So the spirits that come in through those beliefs stay, and they haunt the sensitive person. The sensitive person who's very spiritually sensitive. And so you've got perhaps a prophetic calling on your life. And this attack on your life is coming from the enemy, who wants to marry you to an abuser to steal, kill, and destroy your life. I want to urge everyone to take any hint of codependency very, very seriously. I do really see and believe that codependency is killing people, and it's harming families. It's harming relationships with children, parents and children. So a codependent will not have a respect of their children because the children see the poor treatment that the codependent takes upon themselves. So the children sees, my dad doesn't stand up for himself. My mom doesn't stand up for himself. My dad doesn't leave. My mom doesn't leave. My dad may even want so badly to be a good Christian that they put us, the children, in a situation where we have to be raised by this abusive dynamic, and nobody says anything. Nobody talks about it. That spirit of death can come through that family, and it can pass through to the children. So the children inherit a spirit of death and a spirit of codependency. This can happen. It does happen. And Satan wants to kill the prophets and anyone else that is called in any office, any Christian. He wants to destroy them. And so he will get through to you in the way that he can. the foundational call is you have to fight. You have to fight. It seems like a sensitive person really resists fighting. You know, you hear the phrase, I'm a lover, not a fighter. The sensitive person wants to love. They don't want to fight. That comes from the way that we're raised sometimes. You're supposed to be the peacemaker. You're supposed to be the fixer. You're the sympathizer. You're the one that provides support for the family for cooking and cleaning or whatever their needs are. You keep the household running. You might even pay attention to the bills and making sure the electric is on. There's a lot of things that kids go through that's highly, highly traumatic. The pattern does form and move into adulthood for sure. So to recognize this, you have to really fight it. And so we can't be a lover and not a fighter. And we can't be a fighter and not a lover. The Bible is both. It's about warfare and fighting for Him. And it's also about loving. Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Are your eyes on God when you are not serving His kingdom because you want to make your spouse feel good, or you want to make sure your spouse doesn't blow up and yell at you, or you want to make sure you kept your marriage together for 50 years for the sake of your kids, yet your kids resent you because of how abused you were and all the things that they saw in the marriage? If you don't believe in fighting, you got to get that right, because the enemy will try to kill you. You got to realize where we are here. We are looking to Jesus' return. We can't say what that will be, but we're closer than ever. We need to be looking at the kingdom and what God has called us to do and operate in that, and see where we're not willing to do something that's our not loving God with either our heart, our soul, our mind, or our strength. And I would suggest it may be a couple of those things. And you can contemplate that for yourself. Maybe meditate on, what does it mean to love God with all my heart in this situation? What does it mean to love God with all my soul in this situation? I would suggest making a soul tie with God, loving God with all your soul, making a soul, this is a positive soul tie with God, tie your soul with God. Root your soul with God, that will cast out any other suggestion of soul ties with anyone else. If your soul is really tied to God, then loving Him with your mind is renewing your mind. How did He make you? What does the Bible say about how He loves you, how He made you, how He's called you? And having the Holy Spirit to inform you of what the scriptures are showing you more about God, more about how He sees you, more about how He's called you. And then loving God with your strength. That's the muscle, that's the fist, that's the fighting, that's the fire, the casting out. So I hope this is encouraging you to get your boxing gloves and see yourself as conditioning yourself. Begin to condition yourself. So when you hear warring, when you hear fighting, that you don't shrink down and judge it. That's what your family taught you to do, or the sensitivity that is still rooted in the sin nature, the soul, the iniquities within the soul, the injuries within the soul that would make someone shrink down and say, no, 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 I'm not a fighter. Fighting is bad. We don't understand spiritual warfare if that's the case, and it's a central part of biblical scriptures all the way through. If that's not understood, then we're not able to know the mind of God in the way that we really need to, as far as having a relationship with Him. So fight, fight, fight. And I'll just say a prayer now for everyone that has experienced codependency. Father God, thank You for Your power and authority that You've given us. Thank You for the scriptures that and the Holy Spirit that helps to reveal to us all of the ways that You've called us, and You've called us to see You and to know You and to love You and to fight for You and to glorify You, to do things for Your glory. Lord, just allow people to break free from people that are abusive and need to repent and that are not repenting. And Lord, I just ask you to restore a fire, Holy Spirit fire, into the belly of the listener, that they get a fire for you, Lord, that they get empowered and excited for you, Lord, that they get full of a spirit that is a spirit of truth, that they get the truth. They're starting to see the truth and they realize they can break free of these chains. They can break free and they can set boundaries and they can set a standard. Lord, there's scripture that says, if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. And Lord, have people see that scripture in the way that they realize that the unbelieving partner will separate if the codependent partner is truly living biblically and doing what the Bible says to do with the abusive spouse. Lord, the reason why the unbelieving partner is not separating often is because the codependent partner is not standing up for God and righteousness and standing for that and standing firm and making very clear boundaries with what needs to be done to keep the abuser from continually harming that codependent person. Lord, your scripture says, an overseer must be above reproach. The overseer of the house, the husband of one wife, he must be sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Lord, let the marriage bed be undefiled. Hebrews 13:4. Let the marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. And finally, Father, I just want to pray Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Listeners, this is a warning. This is important. This is your life. This is your calling. What are you marrying yourself to through obedience so that you have an excuse not to fight? Father God, give the listener the gift of fighting, the gift of fighting the fight. Give them the fire. Give them the fire for spiritual warfare, Lord. Give them the fire to fight. Give them your will to fight, Lord. If a spouse is not walking away from you and is abusive, there's a problem. That means you're not fighting against the demonic forces behind your spouse. So I hope this is an awakening today. I hope it is waking you up and getting you fighting, and that the enemy is cast down, that all attempts that he's making in your life now are broken. In Jesus' name, I love you. Bye for now.